TV.
It is time for an end time update. I haven't done one of these in a while. This will be a political type show, but I'm also going to be commenting on the religious state of things in the country and how the recent assassination, the political assassination of the young man named Charlie Kirk is bigger than any of us thought, including myself. This is bigger than the JFK assassination and Martin Luther King. Why? How could that be? Because on the heels of, let's say, the Kennedy assassination, nobody changed. Nobody suddenly wanted to be like JFK. JFK was not exactly known for his moral fortitude. He cheated on Jackie every chance he got, so he was not an upstanding citizen. He was loved because he was young and he was a political idealist, and people loved him for that. I was too young, but I'm sure I would have loved him too. He belonged to a Democratic Party that doesn't exist anymore. If he were alive today, he would not be a Democrat, obviously. And this is bigger because of who God made Charlie Kirk to be. And of course, I was familiar with him. I had seen his college videos, the videos he made on college campuses where he went into the lion's den to answer questions and to listen to people's comments and to give people a platform to present their arguments. His platform was prove me wrong. It was very effective. And the man stood for what he believed in. Now, of course, he was a standard issue Christian doctrinally. And I know this. He believed all the horrible things we despise. Eternal torment, free will, the Trinity, the substitutionary death of Christ, right down the line. But, and you know what, how I feel about that. Okay, but I'm able to separate the man, Charlie Kirk, the patriot, the family man, from the Christian. But there was a great purpose in his martyrdom, and that's just what it is. He was known to have quoted this, and I don't know who first said this, but martyrdom was the seed of the early church, and it's true. When Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain, he meant gain for the cause, not gain for him. And all the martyrs of the early century furthered the message. I'm not going to call it the church because that's confusing, but it furthered the message. And an amazing thing has happened since the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to send you a video link. There's a link below here. It's from the Benny Johnson podcast about how there is a spiritual revival. I will call it an explosion. And I had no idea. I knew it was big, but I had no idea the size of Charlie Kirk's influence. And around the world, there are memorials to him. And I guess over the weekend, last weekend, every church was filled to capacity. Because this man gave people something to aspire to that is the opposite of the evil. I mean, a man like Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, takes front and center stage, stands for something, especially in light of the age we are living in, the evil we are living in. And we can point to a lot of hypocritical Christians. I'm not talking about their doctrine right now. I'm talking about their behavior. Now, Donald Trump claims to be a Christian. Of course, that's a farce. But Charlie Kirk's religion is a farce, too. But the problem with Trump is that, you know, he was a womanizer, and his moral standing is not up there on the charts. And so he's really nothing to aspire to. Everybody, well, we love him because he's a businessman and he's getting things done. But as far as people wanting to be like Trump, nobody really wants to be like Trump. And remember, Charlie Kirk's outreach was to young people. And now there are millions, literally millions, and probably tens of millions of young people who are sick and tired of being raised with a permissive attitude, sick and tired of the rot in their culture, sick and tired of the rap songs because evil weighs on you. And this crap I've just described is evil. And Charlie stood for good. He stood for the country. He stood for being an upright person. He stood for starting a family, being a faithful husband. I mean, these are all good things. Again, I am putting aside for now, and please, I ask you to do the same for now, put aside his wacko scriptural beliefs, which are all wrong. They're all wrong. But the standard today is such, and the evil today is such, the crime today is such that the young generation are looking for something, but they're not able, they haven't been able to find a substitute for the culture. They don't want to go to church because that's where their parents are, but now suddenly this young person who is idealistic but yet appears to live up to his ideals was brutally murdered by the political left, by the same entity, by the same political mentality that had caused many of them to become nihilistic and depressed. And so it was like the flip of a switch. And because these sicko reptilian lefties left so many videos, made so many videos following Charlie Kirk's assassination, just celebrating it and saying the most vile, inhuman things, that caused a reaction that is spread like wildfire in that lots of people said, that's it. I am done with the political left. I finally see the nest of evil that it is. I finally had enough of it. It was just like a switch flipped. And they saw evil personified. And the left is evil. And the bullets are flying one way. It was so interesting because we all know if this had happened to someone on the left by a MAGA type person, there would have been riots in the street, police attack, police cars burning, cities being torn down. Do you see that in the wake of this? It is a remarkable difference. Rather, you see prayer vigils and people going to church. Okay, like I wish they'd go to martinsetter.com instead of church, but let me tell you why this fits in with the end time scenario. It fits in perfectly because Trump is the political guy. He is the guy who built the system, the structure that will unite the world politically. But we know that there has to be a uniting of religion and politics, not just politics, but religion and politics. And it seems that while political alliance has turned to other countries looking toward the United States for leadership and Trump providing that leadership so that at the end we know there will be a 10-headed beast that will be beholden to the great beast of the West, referencing Daniel chapter 7, the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast being a Western religious political organization. So we are looking for, and soon, the melding of religion and politics. And Charlie Kirk was the perfect amalgamation of religion and politics. He was Jesus first and country a close second. And we've seen the tendency over the last couple of years, especially the last year since Trump's election in 2024, the fall thereof and his inauguration in January of this year. We have seen the trend of religion taking a hand in politics. But we've seen this for a long, long time, But this assassination has lit a fuse to take this to the next level. And Trump couldn't do it himself. He couldn't do it himself because he's not a person that you would look to and say, I want to be like that guy. No, I'm glad that guy's my president. I'm glad we have a business mind running the country, but I don't want to be like that guy. But here's a young, handsome, articulate, kind, gracious man married to a beautiful woman, two young daughters, living a stellar life as far as we would consider doing everything right. Now forget the motivation now, whether he's afraid of hell or whatever. He's not in the body of Christ. He was not in the body of Christ because you know why? Because you can just tell. I mean, I've watched him many times. It's very hard for people who believe in human free will. It's very hard for them to hide their arrogance. They try. Some of them do a pretty good job. They'll talk about grace. They'll talk about, I owe my life to Jesus. But they can't help. The arrogance will come through. If you're trained to see it like I am, you, and you are too, really, you can just, as I have said before, the arrogance just oozes out the pores. They accepted Jesus Christ. They gave their life to Jesus. And Charlie still believed in eternal hell for those not as smart, not as good, not as wise as him. More stupid, more careless than he was. And yet he still talks of grace. Classic Christian hypocrisy. His whole thing was the substitutionary death of Christ. That was the essence of the gospel to him. I've heard him explain it. And if you go on YouTube, he's all over YouTube. I mean, this is a freaking phenomenon. His big thing was the substitutionary death of Christ. He thinks that's the gospel, that Jesus died in my place, which unwittingly brings Jesus down to the status of a man, because the substitutionism says that, well, Christ did it instead of me. So in other words, if I could have been there, I could have taken care of it, but Christ died instead of me. In other words, it was a swap out. No, it was not a swap out. We don't need someone like us to die instead of us. We need someone who's not in our predicament to die for us. And so it just goes along really nicely slash horribly with the free will teaching that the human ultimately is the final arbiter in his or her salvation. And we could have saved ourselves if we could have gone to that cross. But since we weren't born in the first century, Christ did it for us. No. That's what we believe. Christ did it. This is what they believe. Instead of us, in our place. But Christ didn't take any of our places. He didn't take any of our places. He was completely outside of our realm. He came down here as a man, but he was not 100% man. He was 50% divine, 50% man. And so as 50% divine, he had no sin in him, and he had the power and the authority to bear the sin of the world, which we could never have done. I've talked about that a couple weeks ago, but Charlie believed this way. And again, it goes hand in hand with human free will. This elevation of the human, putting the human on the throne of his own future, and yet calling it grace, calling it Jesus saved me, all the right Christian terms. And yet Charlie was all about church, 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 get yourself to church. And, you know, gag me with a spoon. Yeah, I know. And yet that is what we want to happen. That is what we want to see politically. That is what we want to see, because there has to be church and state coming together before this beast system can be unloaded, unlocked, and foisted upon the public. It has to look good. And as I've said for years, Christians will just eat it up. They will love it. It'll be yummy to them. It will be the perfect thing to join. It will have the cross probably as the mark of the beast. I really believe the cross will be the mark of the beast. And again, Charlie was just this typical, I say typical with a qualification. He was typical in the doctrines he believed, but he was atypical in that I don't see him being hypocritical as far as his behavior goes. He was a stellar human being, and only a stellar human being who garnered respect could trigger on the heels of a political assassination, could trigger the response that we are seeing. And I'm just responding here to the response. I'm as astonished as anybody here. I should have seen it coming. I'm kind of upset with myself that I didn't see that we needed a catalyst. We needed something to ignite the religious fervor because the political fervor was overtaking the religious fervor. And I knew that the politics and religion had to come together, and I should have seen the need for a catalyst. And then if I would have looked over the field to see the perfect person for this, it would have been Charlie Kirk. My God. The age, just like JFK, young, handsome, articulate, but he had all the moral standing that JFK didn't have, or that Trump doesn't have, or that anybody else I can think of doesn't have. He was like an angel on earth, as humans would judge, not as you and I would judge. So I want you to watch this video I'm linking below, and it's all over the world. It's not just the United States, all over the world. This man's message is going way, way wide, more than it would have if he was alive today. This political assassination if the left wanted to end something, it was the absolute worst thing they could have done, because it is sparking a worldwide movement of people turning to the right, which I would prefer them do that than become a bunch of commies, turning to the right and turning to religion. But in a way, it's also fodder for MZTV, because you and I were once in religion. So if there's 100,000, no, I forget that, if there's 5 million people coming to the Christian religion, there's 0.001% of them that will eventually look for, is hell eternal? They'll find martinsender.com or one of your websites. But this is the spark that we've needed, that I didn't even know we needed. People say, is this part of the end time scenario? As I told you, everything that happens from now on is part of the end time scenario, but this is bigger than any of us knew. And are any of these people, let's say there's a true religious revival, even though I would call it an explosion. It's religious, it's not spiritual, it's pseudo-spiritual. But I'm going to look at the bright side of it. There is some good. For one thing, these kids aren't becoming lefties. Thank God. Great. Okay, I'm happy about that. Thank God. And another thing is that they will now be prepared for the tribulation. What is the tribulation going to do? Remember, I've told you, God is going to call out Israel during the tribulation. None of these people are in the body of Christ unless they find MZTV. And they find out that, oh my God, I got to let go of human free will. Oh my God, I really don't believe that Jesus Christ was my Savior. I must admit now to everyone, I really did think I saved myself by believing in Jesus. I see how wrong that is now. That's essential for both evangelists to come to a realization of Christ and Christ alone. And Charlie would say that, Christ and Christ alone, but it's not Christ and Christ alone. It's Christ plus your contribution. Because Christ alone doesn't get the job done. No, not according to them. According to us, yes, Christ alone gets the job done for everyone. But of course, these people don't understand the difference between eternal life and aeonian life. We see that Christ wins salvation for the entire world at the consummation of the eons, and that those who are chosen beforehand, those who believe now, right, come in early. Those who are designated beforehand, they have aeonian life. But those who get aeonian life doesn't mean that the rest who don't have aeonian life are lost forever, according to that's what they believe. Just sick. But some people, out of that 5 million that are 10 million or 20 million that are going to come to this new faith, they're going to start going to church for the first time. They'll be all excited at first, and they're going to eventually hear the crud. They're going to eventually pick up on the contradiction. Oh, I thought this was of grace. How come my sister's not saved? They're going to start asking questions. Did Jesus actually say the word hell? No. The Bible wasn't written in English? What? And then they're going to go to their computers at night in the evening. And they're going to find the truth. But those who don't will not be in the body of Christ, not designated beforehand to be in the body of Christ. They will be fodder for God during the tribulation to be a part of Israel. As I have said, I believe many of the people in this country are remnants of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And not, there are people who are even designated for membership in the 144,000 who are today, as I speak, alive, but not believers. Not believers. What scripture do you read which says that when the 144,000 are called out from among humanity, that they're already going to be primed, that they're already going to be studying, they're already going to be prepared to be one of the 144,000? What the hell? No. Do you think Peter was prepared to be a disciple of Christ when he was fishing that day? Was he studying to be a disciple of Christ, to be a leader of the next eon, to be a king of the earth? No, he wasn't. None of them were. None of them were. They were picked cold. They were picked out of nothingness simply because it pleased God to choose them. And so these people could be so misled, so wrong, and yet they have this hankering in them for God, but they're groping, like Paul says in Acts chapter 17. The snatching away happens. We're gone. None of them are aware of it. Suddenly the tribulation is upon them, and then God comes upon them like the flames of fire came upon the 12 in the upper room. And suddenly they get it, and they realize they missed the snatching away, but they don't care because they are the Israel of God. They are members of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And God brings back the house of Judah to the house of Israel, puts those sticks together, like in Ezekiel 36 and 37, 38. Read all three chapters, you'll find it, and it's just the most amazing. I love how God brings Israel out of the hinterlands, out of the north, south, east, west, where he has scattered them all. And the natives, so-called, who are living in Jerusalem now are the imposters, and they will be exiled, they will be cast out, and the true Israel will be called. And what God is doing today with this movement, I don't despise it. I'm happy about it on two fronts. I'm happy about it in that it is bringing the beast to power, which must be in accord with Daniel chapter 7. The four beasts of Daniel 7 are four religions. They go from east to west. Read the Concordant version of the Old Testament at concordant.org. Look at Daniel chapter 7 and then read A. Enoch's book, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. It will blow your mind. These are four religions. The Western religion is the United States and Europe, and this is the beast that will take over the world and stamp out the other religions. This will be the leader, and I believe the man of lawlessness comes from there. Why some people think the man of lawlessness has to come from Islam or has to be a Mohammedist or has to be an Islamicist, has to be a Jew, I don't even see where the man of lawlessness has to be a Jew. But even if it's Trump, and I believe he is, how do we know he's not an Israelite from way, way, way back? How do we know? The lost sheep of the 10 tribes, the 10 lost tribes that were in the Assyrian captivity, they never returned to the land like the house of Judah did. The house of Judah came back to the land after the Babylonian captivity. Not so the house of Israel, taken into captivity by the Assyrians. The Assyrians left the back door open, went about taking over the world, and they were scattered, and they left. They left. They went to the north and to the west. They settled Europe. So how do we know? How do we know? God knows the bloodline. God knows the bloodline. Well, I know they're not Israel. They're Danish. Oh, cool. Where'd the Danes come from? Where'd the English come from? Where'd the French come from? Okay. All right. There you go. So, and again, this is how many of us started as religious people, and we found the truth. And I pray that some of these young people find the truth. But something has happened here. This is huge. I do not believe it's a flash in the pan. I don't think it's going to... Sure, there are some people just getting in on the excitement, but I think because of the times we're living in, because this is an end time update, and because we are in the end of days, we are in the final years of Millennium 6, that this is going to stick. And I respect his wife, Erica, his widow, sad to say. What an amazing strength I see in this woman. And she is going to lead this thing now, I think. And again, their doctrines are horrific. Absolutely horrific. And yet this is the choice that we see on the earth. The obvious evil of the left, where their answer is murder rather than conversation, or the right, which automatically gets attached to God, in this case to Christianity. And yes, the doctrines suck, but they're not going around shooting people, and they have nice families, and they believe in talking rather than killing. And so, yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. The beast, fueled by these horrible teachings, is as ugly as it comes. But at least it has the decency to look good on the outside. But it is not going to last. And I don't mean this movement's not going to last. I mean the movement's going to fuel the beast. And the beast is not going to last. The beast will be given power for a short period of time. We will be gone before this. But I'm telling you ahead of time what's going to happen. Not because I'm a genius, because I read the scriptures and I know what's going to happen. Because God tells his friends what's going to happen. And so, you know, we have no excuse not to know. We don't know the exact timing. We don't know the hour of the day, but we do know, like, the season. And if this isn't the season, I don't know what is.